Welcome to Catholic Restoration Conference 5. This is Judith Sharp. Today we're deviating from our usual interview topics to bring you vital and timely information on one of the most serious threats that has ever been posed to our free speech and First Amendment rights. I'm speaking of federal hate crimes legislation. And here today to discuss that threat with us is Reverend Ted Pike. Reverend Pike is the director of the National Prayer Network, a conservative Christian watchdog organization. And to learn more about his extensive biography and important work, you can visit his website at www.truthtellers.org. Once more, www.truthtellers.org. Suffice it to say for now, he has appeared on some 550 radio and TV talk shows since 2004. And has played a pivotal role in defeating hate crimes legislation the last four times it's been introduced in Congress. Legislation, by the way, proposed by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Reverend Pike is an outspoken critic of the ADL leadership and their hate law bureaucracies proliferating throughout the world, such as the U.S. State Department's Department of Global Antisemitism. It's our pleasure and great good fortune to have him here to share his expertise and experience regarding hate laws and their threat to our freedoms. So let's get right to it. Reverend Pike, we've heard of the Department of Global Antisemitism, but where is the Department of Global Anti-Christianity? Perhaps you could answer that question for us, and welcome to ISOC.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, the Department of Global Antisemitism was actually mandated by Congress about 4 years ago. It's nothing more than an ADL or an anti-defamation front in order to establish a federal empowerment of persecution of Christianity. In fact, in their annual report from the State Department's Office of Global Antisemitism just a couple of years ago, the report said very clearly that anyone who believes that the Jews masterminded the crucifixion of Christ 2,000 years ago is now considered by the government of the United States a classic anti-Semite. And, of course, a classic anti-Semite is jargon which refers to Adolf Hitler and others who have been virulently anti-Semitic persecutors of the Jews. And so what is happening here is under the blessing of the Department of State, the ADL, is basically establishing that it is very interested in putting a noose around all evangelical Christians, Catholics, and so on who believe the New Testament account of the crucifixion, and that wants to make them into haters, anti-Semites, domestic terrorists, and so on.
Oh, yes. Well, look what they did to Mel Gibson with The Passion.
Yes.
You know, they went after him tremendously, forcing him in as much as they could to change the language in the film, because they didn't want anybody to say that they had anything to do with the crucifixion of Christ, which, of course, we all know is absolute, not it's biblical truth. So
yes.
We can't deny that.
Well, it's affirmed repeatedly in the book of Acts, as well as weaving all throughout the gospel.
Of course.
The whole enmity of the Pharisees against Christ, their determination to kill him, and then the final act, which they coerced the Romans into actually performing, nevertheless puts the blood guiltiness for the death of Jesus Christ squarely at the Jews of at the feet of the Pharisees and their followers.
Right, exactly. Well, and it's interesting that this is a global anti-Semitism department. You know, I can understand us having departments that have to do with us nationally, but I wonder how we have the audacity to think that we can be globally watching over the rest of the world and what they do.
Well, you see, it's global because the I'll just give you a little background on where all of this is coming from. In about 1850, B'nai B'rith International, which is a Jewish activist group even then, established its presence, calling itself B'nai B'rith in New York City, and they ostensibly came into existence to protect Jewish interests in the New World. In 1913, their Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith was created in order ostensibly to combat emerging anti-Semitism at the beginning of the century. Now, for the last nearly a century, the ADL has been the spearhead of Jewish activist efforts to weaken Christianity, strip us of our sacred symbols, our crosses, our manger scenes at Christmas time, prayer in the schools, Ten Commandments in public places, all of those things. These Jewish activist organizations, which include not only the ADL, but the Southern Poverty Law Center, the American Civil Liberties Union, People for the American Way, they are all Jewish-dominated organizations, what I call Jewish activism or Jewish supremacism, which are have a singular goal, and that is basically to bring about a state of persecution, of legal persecution and harassment of Christianity in this world. And they do have global ambitions, they believe. In fact, Abraham Foxman, who is the head of the ADL, is a convinced and pious Orthodox Jew who claims that he is looking forward to the Jewish Messiah who will rule the nations. He is a Kabbalist, he is a Talmudist, he is very interested in increasing the awareness of Jewish youth concerning their Talmudic, Kabbalistic origins and doctrines and theologies and so on. And yet here's a man who is at in the driver's seat of doing everything he possibly can to promote homosexuality, promote abortion, mm-hmm. promote pornography, on and on and on. ADL is right there front and center to stand in the way of Christian values and Christian progress in the world. And one might say, well, why in the world do they want to do this? Well, the truth of the matter is it all goes back to the Pharisees. It goes back to the book of Acts, where we see at the very beginning of the church age a concerted, systematic effort by the Sanhedrin, by the Pharisees, even by Saul of Tarsus, who became St. Paul, mm-hmm. to destroy as heretics those who affirmed the deity of Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity. And you see, about 70 A.D., Jerusalem was destroyed, and a good deal of this plan was arrested. Finally, in 134 A.D., that the Jews had another rebellion under Bar Kochba, but it also failed after great slaughter of hundreds of thousands of Gentiles in the Mediterranean area, again was put down, and the Jews were thoroughly driven out of Palestine and radiated out into the Western world or back into Babylonia, where they had been for about 700 years. But this dream, this ambition to someday come into such a place of power and influence that they could finish the job of persecuting Christians, which they began 2,000 years ago, is now a reality today with the ADL in control of government, state government, federal government, lawmaking powers, war-making powers, finance, and certainly control of the Jewish media in the Western Hemisphere. ADL, B'nai B'rith, you see, are in a position not only in the United States but throughout Europe to establish their Christian persecuting hate laws. And that's why this is a global attempt, you see, mm-hmm. a global attempt to unite the whole world under internationally enforced hate laws, which ultimately will be enforced from Jerusalem. In fact, our Lord prophesied that someday they will deliver you up to the synagogues in Jerusalem to be imprisoned, to even to be killed. You see, now that's we're talking about here extradition of so-called anti-Semites from throughout the world to Jerusalem to receive judgment under the hate crimes tribunals there. And already we're seeing people like Ernst Zundel and people like Germar Rudolph. Mm-hmm. And others, David Irving, being either imprisoned or extradited, even from the United States, under the authority of international extradition treaties, mm-hmm. in order to stand trial in Germany or England, etc., for supposed crimes of denying the full extent of the Holocaust or other so-called anti-Semitic crimes.
Well, I know that you've been fighting this fight for a long time. You're almost a voice in the wilderness as far as the Christians are concerned. There are so many other evangelical Christians who we know could be just so powerful in your effort, but yet they're not helping. And I'm talking about the Dr. Dobsons of the world, the John Hageys. Can you tell us a little bit about your efforts in trying to get them on board? And are you? Have you?
Well, the problem is, you see, the evangelical movement, literally going back to Oliver Cromwell in the 17th century, has this view that God blesses those who bless the Jews, even apostate Jews, even wicked Jews and their leaders. God will bless you if you go ahead and speak well, only well, and seek the prosperity and the good, even of wicked Jews. Now, that is not biblical. If you go back into the book of Genesis, God says, basically, I love Abraham. He said, because he will instruct his, he will command his children to do what is right and just, in order, God says, that my covenant promises with Abraham will be fulfilled. Now, what he's saying there is he's laying down a conditional promise. He's saying that I gave the promise to this land, and I gave the promise of blessing upon Abraham and his posterity because Abraham did the works of righteousness and justice and truth. And he's saying, in that pivotal verse, he's saying, in order for his posterity throughout the ages to also receive these same blessings, they almost also must do the righteous works of Abraham. Now, the evangelicals, going clear back maybe 300-400 years to England and Cromwell, who invited the Jews into England,
mm-hmm.
The evangelicals always said, no, this is an unconditional promise. It doesn't matter whether the Jews are wicked or not. Nevertheless, if we bless them, God will bless us. Now, that is heresy. We have to be obedient to God. We have to love him. We have to be kind and merciful, even to our enemies. We have to epitomize his righteousness and his justice and mercy and love in the world in order to ever expect to receive God's blessing, not only in here, but also in the hereafter. And throughout this last century, the evangelicals have given themselves single-mindedly to promoting Zionism, promoting Israel, without making any kind of moral distinctions. The idea of the Israel First evangelicals is to bless them unconditionally, whether they're right or wrong, whether they're doing what's good, or whether they are committing the most abominable persecutions of the Palestinians, as they have. The evangelicals say we cannot criticize God's chosen people. Now, the fact of the matter is that these hate laws and all this legislation, there's five hate bills coming through Congress right now, in addition to the one that passed the House and the Senate this spring. They're all ADL bills. The ADL is basically pouring out legislative sewage into our congressional houses, and they are corrupting the nations, creating hate crimes laws with the direct intent of persecuting Christians. And yet, the evangelicals say, we can't mention ADL lest we should be the victims of a divine curse for cursing God's chosen people. Now, when a righteous man like Jeremiah or Hosea or John the Baptist or Jesus Christ or Paul, when they criticized evil Jews in their time, they were not persecuting those Jews. They were giving them a tremendous chance at eternal life, mm-hmm. showing them the wickedness of their ways. And that's the same thing I do today. Some people call me an anti-Semite because I criticize ADL, Jewish media, Talmud, and so on. I'm not an anti-Semite. I am speaking like an Old Testament prophet as much as I can to call out to the Jewish people high and low and tell them that the wages of sin is death, and they must repent and they must turn away from their evil machinations and world ambitions.
Well, and of course, you know we're Catholic, and you know that the Catholic Church has, well, let me go back a while. For 1900 years, they did exactly that same thing.
Sure.
It's only been in the recent history of the Church, the last 50 years or so, that things have changed so much there.
Yes.
Oh, my. Well, that's very interesting. Now, can I ask a question? You know, we hear a lot about Abraham and his descendants. Now, I read a book called The 13th Tribe by Arthur Koestler.
Sure.
That makes pretty clear that the majority of Jewish people today in the world, actually, and particularly those who are like behind the ADL and that, And I have another question about that, but that they're not descendants of Abraham anyway, that they are part of this Khazar community.
Yes.
Do you follow that? Do you believe
in
that?
I'm very familiar with Arthur Koestler's book.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I have a book on the subject of the Jews and Zionism called Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. And I think I have about a 10-page appendix there on the Khazar question, and I have written quite a bit on that and studied it. What basically happened, and I don't think anybody's going to argue about this, is about 850 A.D. in the central Eurasian nation of Khazaria,
mm-hmm.
which is it's basically in the Caucasus region between the Black and the Caspian Sea. There were a couple of million people there of Hunnish Turkish stock called the Khazars. They were ruled over by a king called the Khagan. And about that period, the fashion of the day was for these semi-civilized nations to start shopping around for a more modern religion rather than the idolatry of their ancestors. And the Khagan invited representatives of Islam and Christianity and Judaism to come to his capital to make their case for selling the Khazarians on a national religion. And in short, they chose Judaism. And very quickly, literally within decades and a century or two, the whole Khazar nation adopted Judaism and promptly forgot that they were basically Japhetic or Gentile in origins and began to convince themselves they were descendants of Abraham, perhaps the lost tribes of Israel or something like that. And in the ensuing centuries, especially after invasions such as the Mongols and so on, the nation of Khazaria was pretty much blown away, and these Khazars were blown into the West, into Central Europe, particularly Eastern Europe.
Up into Russia, yeah.
And so on. And in Poland especially, these proselytes of Judaism established synagogues and rabbinical schools, the whole thing, convinced that they were bona fide Jews, yearning to return to Jerusalem and so on. And then, particularly in the last part of the 19th century, literally millions of this vast horde, what had become a vast horde of the Ashkenazi or the Eastern European Jews, flooded into Western Europe and got on the boats and came to America.
Mm-hmm.
And out of these Ashkenazi Jews emerged the Hollywood media moguls, the big three TV moguls, and so on. All of these people are very largely Khazar in origin. That doesn't mean that there isn't some Sephardic or true Jewish blood in there and mixed, but they are basically predominantly Khazar, I believe, and Koestler certainly believes that. And he, by the way, is Jewish or
right.
was Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Even more relevant, perhaps, was that the great majority of Zionist so-called Jews who came down from Poland and Russia and so on at the turn of the century and particularly in the 30s and so on were all of this Khazar Ashkenazi group. Now, today, roughly 30% of Jews in the world are relatively authentic Jews. We have to remember that when Nebuchadnezzar led the southern two kingdoms of Judah and Benjamin into Babylon around 597 B.C., that the Jews established themselves in Babylonia for a full 1,600 years, actually longer than they had been in Palestine. And in the beginning of the 11th century A.D., the people of Babylonia rose up against these Jews in all of their prosperity and so on and drove them out. And so a tremendous amount of authentic descendants of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin did flood into the Western world, North
mm-hmm.
Africa, Mediterranean,
Spain.
And the Sephardic Jews of Spain, and
mm-hmm.
up into Germany, Holland, England, and so on. So we have a predominance of so-called proselyte Jews in the world today who are certainly a very powerful force of world revolution, but there's also a minority of about 30% who are just as anti-Christian as the converts are.
Now, are they both Talmudic?
Oh, yes, very much so. If you go into Israel today, the Shah's party has a minority presence in the Knesset, and they are just as rabidly anti-Christian and pro-Talmudic as are the predominant Khazar Ashkenazim.
Mm-hmm.
What's really going on here, if I might just elaborate for a second, you see, back in Deuteronomy, back in the Old Testament law, God told the Jewish people, the Hebrews, he said, if you ever rebel against me and turn against me, then I'm going to curse you to be a very small nation on the earth. You're never going to have the blessing of reproductive, be prolific like the, for example, the descendants of Ishmael and the Arabs, who were promised to have tremendous fruitfulness. And so what has happened is that, you know, when the Hebrews came out of Egypt, there were about a couple million came out under Moses. Do you realize for the last 2,000 years at least that authentic Jews have never exceeded maybe 3.5-4 million in the entire world for the last 2,000 years?
Isn't that amazing?
And that's part of the fulfillment, the amazing fulfillment of this curse of sterility on them because of their sins. Now, at the same time, this very small minority of the world's population believes very fervently that they're destined to rule the world. They're destined to fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah and the prophets and have dominion over the nations from Jerusalem, have their Messiah ruling the nations and all that. All of that would be impossible, but I believe in God's, or perhaps the devil's, agency or interference, God brought in this nation of a couple of million of very talented, very intelligent Khazar craftsmen and warriors and merchants and so on in order to assist this very small minority of Jews in their machinations for world dominion.
Mm-hmm. And diaspora, now that they were dispersed throughout the world, so their nation was not in a specific country or a specific city or whatever else. They're just kind of like everywhere, correct?
Yeah, and that, again, is a curse of God. He says you'll be wanderers among the nations.
Right, but they have certainly, they've certainly taken hold in this country, as you said. And going back to the hate crimes, and this has been wonderful. This is a great explanation and a wonderful compilation of where we are with who's doing what and where they came from. But my question now is to go back to what you said a little while ago about the ADL being the ones who are instructive in all this legislation. But who do they get? I mean, they're not in the Congress. Who do they get to introduce this legislation?
Well, the truth is that there have never been more Jews in Congress than there are today.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. They continue to rise in numbers every election. Actually, I don't have the figures, but we're talking about at least 35 or 40 Jews now in the House and the Senate. I believe that's a pretty good estimate.
And that's a large number considering the population, the percentage of population.
Well, sure. The truth of the matter is these Jews do introduce this legislation. In fact, just this week we are seeing a probable defeat of a bill called the AWARE bill, which would require pro-homosexual education in all public schools in America with a $25 million funding to continue this so-called anti-cyberbullying educational program, which is really pro-homosexual. Anyway, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the sponsor of that, and similarly, another bill was introduced by Representative Cohen, another Jewish activist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the Jews in the House and the Senate are bristling everywhere, and they are the couriers of ADL legislation, being the front people getting those bills moving in Congress.
Well, I suppose Barney Franks helps them greatly.
Oh, yeah, and he's Jewish, too.
Yes, yes. Well, and AIPAC, maybe you might tell us a little bit about their influence.
Well,
the
American Israel Public Affairs Committee, of course, is omnipresent in Congress. The Zionists have absolute power over members of the House and the Senate to keep them from expressing any public statement against Israel, against matters Jewish, objections to Jewish control of the media or war-making potential in the Middle East for the benefit of Israel. There's a complete lockdown, 100% lockdown now in the House and the Senate against any kind of criticism and corresponding pressure that they absolutely must vote for measures, funding measures or declarations in approval of Israel's military atrocities, such as the recent Gaza episode.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, now, I noticed that going back to this, let me mention that the people who are listening to us and don't know anything about the SPLC, most of, I think, our audience does know, but in case they don't, the Southern Poverty Law Center has their hate map, and I noticed that you are very prominently included on that, but I want you to know the In the Spirit of Shark Committee is as well. I don't know if you know that we share that honor, but you know, this is very sad. I mean, these people work so against, they put us in a categories that we certainly don't belong in, and, you know, our Christian faith is so important to us, and yet, I mean, they're out to persecute us. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
Well, that's what the whole idea of hate laws is all about. If people want to get a good education about the origins of hate laws, the best place to go is the ADL's own website, which is adl.org. And at the end of all of my email alerts, which are posted at www.truthtellers.org, we do have a direct link to their articles, which will explain to you how they are basically the authors of the whole idea of hate crimes legislation, having persuaded 45 U.S. states to adopt some version of their anti-hate law. In fact, after the Senate passed the hate bill this spring in July, the ADL, the next day came out with a very self-congratulatory statement saying that they have been a primary source of the whole idea of hate crimes legislation, and that they have persuaded 45 states to adopt some version of their hate law, and also that they are the chief architect and promoter of the federal hate crimes bill, which passed this spring. For 20 years, I've been saying all that according to other data that ADL provides, but for the first time, really, they made a broad and comprehensive statement congratulating themselves for bringing hate crimes laws possibly to America.
Wow. Well, you know, going back to the homosexuality topic, I noticed that the Traditional Values Coalition is also on their hate map. Now, they're very strongly pro-Israel and
yes,
pro-Zionist, Christian Zionists, I would say. And yet, because they oppose homosexuality, they're included on that hate map, and I'm sure that's true of others.
Yes, it is. You see, the truth is that whenever the communists take over, they kill the liberal Christians as well as the Orthodox Christians together, and they're not going to care about whether evangelicals or Catholics or whatever have been liberal or conservative or whatever. As far, anything that has to do with the cross of Jesus Christ is going to be eliminated. And they are not grateful for the pro-Israel, pro-Zionist help which all of these evangelicals have given them over the last century. They are biting the hand, in fact, that has fed them for at least a century. And what they want to do is create draconian laws that will put a noose around all Christians, all sects of Christianity, cinching up that noose under the categorization of we Christians as haters and bigots and anti-Semites and homophobes and all of these pejorative terms that will cast reproach upon us and especially qualify us for indictment as federal hate criminals.
Wow. Well, let's see. I just lost my train of thought in that trying to listen to you, but I guess we titled this correctly when we said this is truly the hate crimes laws are an attack on Christianity. I mean, this is what it's all about. It's ridding Christ from the world, basically.
Yes, it is. And you see, the scriptures, particularly the New Testament, says that in the latter days, treacherous crimes, times shall come, and Christ said, you shall be hated of all men of my sake, and so on. And the persecution is generously prophesied throughout the Scriptures. But most Christians think that persecution will come through somebody else, through secular humanists or liberal sources, one-world sources, and things like that. They never dreamed that persecution would emerge from God's chosen people. Mm-hmm. And yet that's the sobering reality which I'm having to try to bring to 70 million evangelicals as well as Catholics in the world today, is that these wonderful, loving Jews who are the apple of God's eye and can't do anything wrong worthy of criticism, this roseate impression of the Jews has not been accurate. We have to go back to the Bible for an accurate portrayal of the danger involved in rabbinic or Pharisaic Judaism and all of its manifestations. Now, Jesus said, he said, beware of the leaven, which means the teachings of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, the teachings of the Pharisees are embodied in the Babylonian Talmud, which is the codified and written oral law of the Pharisees, which Jesus said had made the law of God of none effect. And the companion to the Talmud is the Zohar, the five books of the Zohar, or Kabbalah, which is this mystical revolutionary companion, advocating world revolution and subversion of the Goyim and the Gentile nations. And what evangelicals have to realize is that their own scriptures tell us that the Jews, Paul said the Jews are enemies of the gospel, and their city, their beloved city, Jerusalem, is actually Sodom and Egypt, according to Christ in Revelation, where our Lord also was crucified. And on and on, the Bible has all of these so-called anti-Semitic warnings to the church today to beware of these Zionists and beware of the whited sepulchers, the high-sounding, respectable front which organized Jewry puts forward. And yet, we have, the church has ignored those warnings. It won't hear them. Instead, it buys in to the ADL and Zionist propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you know that there are at least a couple of Catholics who are saying the same as you, traditional Catholics, Robert Sungenis. I don't know if you know him, or Mark Glenn, but at least...
Oh, yeah, Mark. I know Mark very well. I've been on his program many times.
Oh, good. Well, they certainly are professing exactly what you're saying. But I remembered what I was going to ask you. When you started this last commentary just a few minutes ago, you said you used the words communists. Now, it was the first time I heard you say that. Where are you getting that terminology? Why do you say communists?
Well, if you read the Jewish encyclopedias, such as the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, the Encyclopedia Judaica, or the Jewish Encyclopedia, which are the definitive sources and authorities on matters Jewish certainly in the 20th century, all of them are very very effusive in their pride in the fact that Jews have played a seminal and pivotal role in originating, masterminding, and carrying out all of the great revolutionists, political revolutionists of the last two centuries, starting with the French Revolution, certainly Revolution of 1829 in France, the Revolution of 1848, Paris Commune, and then the two Russian revolutions at the beginning of the 20th century, the 1905 Revolution, and then, of course, the final Bolshevik Revolution. The evidence is absolutely overwhelming from intelligence sources of countries such as England, Holland, America, and so on, in the period of 1917-18, that the Bolshevik Revolution was masterminded. It was financed very largely by the great Jewish banking houses such as Kuhn Loeb in New York under Jacob Schiff, and the Rothschilds in England and France, the Warburgs in Germany, and so on. They all got together to overthrow the Tsar, to overthrow the basically Christian nation of Russia and the Romanov dynasty, first tried in 1905 and then finally accomplished in 1917. And out of Russia and out of this Jewish-dominated regime in Russia, has emerged the socialist and communist movements of the 20th century. So what we call modern 20th century liberalism is basically nothing more than socialism, which comes from Jewish ideology, Jewish rhetoric, basically largely emerging out of the victorious establishment of communism in Russia.
Oh, my goodness, yes, this is excellent, just excellent. Oh, gosh. Well, now, there, you said there were five bills in Congress now. How come so many? Why do they need so many? What are they,
well,
all different?
Well, you see, the ADL and the Democrats are trying to take advantage of the tremendous distraction of people who have all been totally absorbed with the health care issue all summer,
mm-hmm.
and still a lot of them are. And while they are promoting the health care socialized medicine, they know a good thing in the fact that everybody, both in Congress and in the religious conservative right, has been totally absorbed with health care, and so they are attempting right now to move forward very rapidly. Five bills, in fact, a total of six bills, I guess, if you include the federal hate crimes bill, which is now in conference between the House and Senate, having passed this spring. And probably one of the most dangerous right now is the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which had a hearing a week ago, a little more than a week ago, in the House. Let's see, it was Employment and Labor Committee, and no one was prepared for that. And I had written two definitive articles just that week, preceding that by a week, encouraging people to protest because I knew that hearing was coming, but everybody was so preoccupied with the health care issue that, to my amazement, I finally called in to see how many calls were coming in, alerting the members of the House, and nothing was coming in. And so I sent out an emergency alert telling people that the hearing had been held, and out of 18 Republicans, only one Republican was even prepared enough to speak up against the bill.
Oh, my goodness.
And the ENDA, or the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, mm-hmm. Very briefly, will force all employers in the United States with more than 25 employees to hire homosexuals in their workplaces, and they cannot fire them because of their sexual orientation. So if a qualified homosexual wants a job, you've got to hire him if he is qualified above somebody else. Also, ENDA is very dangerous to churches because it could possibly require churches, even Catholic churches, to hire homosexuals in all non-spiritual positions, which means that your priest and clergy to a certain extent and maybe religious instructors could still be hired according to the discretion of your church. But for as far as bookkeepers, janitors, administrators, and even educational teachers and PE teachers in schools and so on,
oh, yeah,
would have to include homosexuals under ENDA.
That's very dangerous. Oh, my goodness. That is extremely dangerous.
I could tell you one more thing that is pretty hair-raising,
yeah,
and that is, according to ENDA, if a man is employed and he wants to become a woman, and he informs his boss that he's transitioning into womanhood, even though he hasn't had any surgery, hasn't taken any hormones or anything else, that employer must allow him access to women's restrooms,
gosh,
and lockers and shower facilities.
Please. Oh, my.
If the employer does not allow him to go into shower facilities with women, then that employer can spend 2 years in prison as a federal hate criminal.
Well, is the federal government going to be included in that, so that our military are going to have that kind of
situation? Oh, yeah, that's all coming.
Uh-huh.
That's all a part of the ADL's agenda. And now the good news is that just this past week, let me just continue my story. I was just absolutely shocked that there was no protest coming in,
mm-hmm.
and that this hearing had been taking place, and Barney Frank was there, homosexual, Tammy Baldwin, homosexual from Wisconsin. They ruled the day there in that Employment and Labor hearing about 10 days ago. I was so shocked that I sent out an e-alert over the weekend and told people there were two more hearings coming up this last Wednesday, the day before yesterday, and people were so shocked by that they flooded the House Judiciary Committee with protests against this new hearing,
which is
the ADL cyberbullying bill, which will make it a federal hate crime even to intend to cause emotional distress to a homosexual over the Internet.
Oh.
And there was a companion bill there called the Aware Bill, which would allow $25 million a year in order to teach school children in America that homosexuality is good and we can't discriminate against it.
Oh.
But anyway, the good news is that because people called in, we had a flood of calls coming into the House, we were able to pull the attention of the Judiciary Republicans away from the health care issue. They brought in excellent witnesses against the cyberbullying bill, and we have pretty much destroyed it, I believe. In fact, just a few minutes ago, I was in conversation with the judiciary expert for Louis Gohmert, who is a top-ranking member of the House Judiciary, and he told me that he thought that both of those evil bills were probably destroyed as a result of the hostile reaction that greeted them in the Subcommittee on Crime.
Thank God. But doesn't that tell us that activism does work?
Oh, yes, you bet. Well, what I'm trying to do right now, in a word, is to continue to capitalize upon this great success the day before yesterday. In fact, I've just been collecting articles from the big media, New York Times and other big websites and so on, and the media is mocking this cyberbullying bill, saying that it's way too over the top in wanting to take away our free speech rights. And so I'm hoping out of that we can get a lobbying snowball going here that will get bigger and bigger, and we can really impress upon Obama and the Democrats literally within the next few weeks that we're not going to stand for any more of this ADL hate crimes legislation that is going to take away freedom of speech here in America like it has in Canada and other European countries.
But now, hasn't there been some success or some change or something went on? I read on one of your articles about Canada.
Well, up in Canada, the ADL, again, was the prime lobbyist to establish a federal hate crimes law in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they lobbied largely through their northern branches, which is ADL, B'nai B'rith Canada, and the Canadian Jewish Congress. They lobbied for about 10 years throughout the 60s for a federal hate law in Canada. And Canada adopted that. And it, of course, has taken away freedom of speech in Canada, but it also established these hate crimes tribunal systems where you have one hearings officer that hears the charges of whether you've hurt the feelings of a homosexual or Jew or black or whatever. And the head of this tribunal system, you have tribunals all throughout every province of Canada, but you have a main tribunal, the CHRTC, I believe it's the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal Commission, in Ottawa, and the head of that is a man by the name of Athanasios Hadjian, and he has been actually a tremendous persecutor of free speech and critics of Israel and Jewish matters Jewish over the past 10 years, always delivering guilty verdicts against dissenters and free speech advocates. But incredibly, just about a month ago, Hadjian came out with a reverse decree in which he was now proclaiming that all of this has been unconstitutional, contrary to the Constitution of Canada. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Jewish activists in all these groups in Canada just went ballistic that somebody of that stature and authority would betray them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's really shaken things up there, and there's a rising groundswell of intellectuals and media writers and so on who are demanding that some of these hate crimes laws be repealed.
Well, do you think, this is sort of an aside, but do you think there are a lot of people who are awakening in this country, maybe even thanks to, like, the truth movement, the 9/11 truth movement and other things, that people are awakening to something in the government that they're not happy with?
Well, that's pretty evident. I believe there was a recent poll that showed that 72% of Americans now are strongly critical of our government.
Mm-hmm.
And there are few out there who tell the whole truth as extensively as I do,
right,
and I have on this program. But on the other hand, there are people who talk about a conspiracy and dark forces which are Marxist in origin or whatever, Masonic in origin, trying to overthrow our civilization. And basically they work for me, not as effectively as I might like, but they
mm-hmm.
work for me in the sense that they send people in my direction. And people do come to our Truth Tellers website. Again, our website is www.truthtellers.org. We have everything there you need to know the whole truth as concerns these great threats today.
Well, when we put your interview up on our website, we will also have the link so that people can go directly to you if they want this good education and what we all need for certain.
Well, that's wonderful. In fact, I'll put this interview up on our website if you want to email it to me or
you can
download it or whatever.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Sure. Well, I'll be doing that, absolutely, no problem. There's an awful lot of activity, too, a little differently, but just I think helping you as well are men like Michael Hoffman and E. Michael
uh-huh.
Jones, who have books that they've written that are you know, controversial to an extent. But we always have to remember, and I want to point this out to our audience, because I never want anyone to think that we are anti-Semitic. I never want anyone to think that we are hateful of anyone. We may hate the sin, but we never hate the sinner. And I know you feel that, of course, you know, believe that as well. But we have to just remind people that there is hate in the world, and it's not for us to join that hate, but to work against that hate. And I know you're doing a phenomenal job. I'm taken back for a minute, if you don't mind me going backwards here, but in California, when we were living there, I'm thinking that maybe 20, 25 years ago, there was a project. And this is going back to the homosexual issue, but the Project 10, do you remember that at all?
No, I don't remember
that. You don't?
That.
Well, it was a project that they tried to start in the schools, and I was going to ask you if you knew whether or not they ever got that through, but where they were trying to get, they figured 10% of all young people were homosexual, and so they were trying to have after-school programs where they would invite people, young people, I'm talking 12 to, you know, 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you have some inclination or you want to know more about it, come to this. It was a recruitment tool.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It just frightened me to death. And of course, so much of what you've been talking about is enough to scare all of us. It should scare us into action. What can we do for you besides just visiting your website? What would you like us to do as far as activism?
Well, right now,
besides calling our congressman, but we need to know when, and I guess we need to learn that from you. When is the proper time?
I think the big issue facing us right now, on one level, the federal hate crimes bill is being, which was attached to the big military spending bill
mm-hmm.
as an amendment, is pretty much out of our direct control right now. It's in conference between the House and the Senate, and there's a lot of economic and military needs bearing on that. We hope that it will be vetoed by the president, who has promised to veto any arms bill which contains too much pork, any excessive military spending, particularly a couple of billion extra for F-35 fighter engines. But there's not too much we can do on the federal hate law front, I don't believe, right now. On the other hand, we need to step into the gap right now and keep the Employment Non-Discrimination Act from becoming the law of the land. It's probably second to the hate bill in danger to freedom. It'll basically take away the property rights of property business owners here in America. And I would encourage people to call, particularly the members of the House and House Judiciary right now, although it's good to call the members of the Senate Judiciary, And those members are listed at my website, which is truthtellers.org. Just go to the action page, and you can find those members listed, the Republican members particularly. Just encourage them to vote against the ENDA. The bill number in the House is H.R. 3017, and then in the Senate it's 1584. We need to get protest calls coming in to the House members, particularly in the House Judiciary of both House and Senate. And here's what I'd kind of like people to say: the Employment Non-Discrimination Act discriminates against employers giving special rights and protections to homosexuals. Please do not vote for this freedom-stealing legislation. Again, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is H.R. 3017 in the House and S. 1584 in the Senate, discriminates against employers giving special rights and protections to homosexuals. Now, the telephone number, the toll-free number to both the House and Senate Judiciary Committees is 1-877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number is 877-851-6437. And actually, people can come to truthtellers.org. You'll get more detailed instructions and lots of articles explaining these needs. And people should get on our email list, we have a fast cutting-edge news that's coming through two or three times a week now with this onslaught of new hate crimes legislation coming through.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because now I'm not on your email list, but I have a friend who is, I did not know this. I have a friend who sends me all your articles, but I didn't know that he was on your email list, which he must be. I thought he probably had to go to your website every day to find out new articles were up. But if you have an email list where we can get on that, and you just shoot this information out to us and these alerts, that's what we need. We need everyone to get on that.
It's on the upper left of the homepage.
Okay.
In 30 seconds, you're on our e-list.
Okay, I'm going to do that right away. I'm going to do that as soon as we get off the air. I think that's so important, and I do encourage all of those who are listening, our entire audience, please get these email alerts, and we can make a difference. I mean, numbers count, right? I mean, numbers count all the time. But on the other hand, one person can make a difference. So your extra effort, and I'm talking to the audience now, can make a huge difference. Can be a difference between 99 and 100. But you are just doing a phenomenal job. I don't know how you keep up with all of it.
Well, it's a calling from the Lord.
It must be.
He called me to be a watchman on the wall,
mm-hmm.
to tell people the whole truth, not to diminish a word, and when I see the enemy coming, I have to speak out immediately, not when I can make it more comfortable and put in a financial appeal or tie it in with other issues or anything. I have to speak immediately when I see the enemy on the horizon, and
mm-hmm.
the enemy keeps breaking over the horizon here very regularly, very often.
Oh,
so I've got to come get on the internet, get on the various websites to carry my articles, get on the radio. In fact, I've done probably 750 radio interviews over the past 4 years.
Well, and I said I said 550 in our intro.
Well,
so
that's way outdated.
Oh my goodness! So I've okay, 750. I'm going to ask you a little question here. Before we end this, but Bishop Williamson is a person that we traditional Catholics know very well, and
yes.
he's been maligned terribly. Do you know the story about what happened with him and how?
Yes, I basically know that he questioned the figures in the the Holocaust.
Right. Well, I'm hoping that, and many of us are hoping that will actually reignite, so that we can get some discussion about that. I know people who would like very much to have a real discussion about that in this country. I know in Iran, I know he's horribly criticized and maybe hated by our government, but not everybody in this country hates Ahmadinejad. He did have a big symposium, I believe it was called, or seminar on questioning the Holocaust in the term with a capital H. I mean, there's been a lot of Holocausts in the world, but the one that they use all the time to promote, I mean, Finkelstein wrote about the Holocaust industry, and so we could use something like that in this country. Have you? Is it ever possible for you, or have you been involved in any kind of a, like a symposium with other groups that maybe are supportive of your position? And
well, I've done some of that on the radio. I haven't actually been to any conferences in a number of years. I've been to conferences in past years. What I'm finding now is the Internet and talk radio is basically one big meeting place. Literally thousands, if not tens of thousands of people can join in with a discussion like we've had here today. And rather than me flying around the country for smaller meetings, a few hundred or whatever, I can speak to literally thousands, if not tens of thousands, through my writings. Jeff Rentz's Rentz.com is a watering hole for this kind of thing, and Jeff has been very generous. He has pretty much what he calls the Ted Pike box there at jeffrentz.com, where I have four or five or six articles regularly keeping people up to date on these threats.
Well, God willing, you're making progress. I think you've done a phenomenal job, and we're so grateful for your taking the time out to be with us today. And I just hope that our audience is listening very carefully. I know that you've told us a lot of things that some people, many know, but many don't know. So we need to keep educating ourselves. But thank you for all the work you're doing. I know God is blessing you. I know, you know, we go back to 1917. I cannot be remiss as a good traditional Catholic in saying that 1917 was a pivotal year because of Our Lady of Fatima, who we traditional Catholics revere. And she told us, she warned us about Russia, and she warned us about what was to come, and it's here.
Yes.
And we haven't listened, and we haven't turned ourselves back to God like we should, and followed what he told us was the right path. And without being on that right path, he's not going to bless us.
That's right. So, well, to conclude, the answer to these national problems is not just political. It's even more importantly that we turn back to our Creator in humbleness and trust Him as little children and forsake our sins and seek His guidance and His values again in our society. If that were going on right now on a national level, the ADL wouldn't be able to do anything.
Exactly. Isn't that the truth?
And there is a God in heaven who is still watching over this country, and He needs free speech in this country because without it, the precious gospel of the kingdom cannot be preached effectively. And so we really are fighting with the angels against tremendous spiritual forces. Again, it's not just politics. We want action, but we also want true faith and piety among the American people.
Prayer and fasting as well. Believe me, it works. We know that because it's biblical, too.
Sure.
Well, all right. Is there anything you'd like to wrap it up with?
You've done a wonderful job. People, if you can come to the internet, if you're on the internet and can come to truthtellers.org, we've just kind of topped. This has been the top of the iceberg here of all of the tremendous documentation that is available, hundreds and hundreds of articles having to do with hate crimes laws and their sordid ideology and history and abuses and all that kind of thing. It's time that people got really educated about this threat because it's not going away.
No, it's not.
And in order to survive as a nation and as a church, we've got to be able to fight back effectively.
And you know the enemies are very patient.
Yes.
Yes, and so if they don't win this time, they'll keep trying, and we have to just keep fighting it. Well, I think our main goal right now is to work against ENDA. We can call it that. And will the congressman know what we're talking about if we say ENDA?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you can give the bill number again.
Yeah, again.
H.R. 3017 in the House and S-1584 in the Senate.
Okay.
But it's moving fast, rapidly, and we have to be proactive.
So that's our job. All right. Well, Reverend Pike, thank you very much for taking this time with us. I couldn't be more grateful.
Well, thank you. I couldn't do it without you, Judy.
You're wonderful. All right. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Notre Dame de Chartres, pray for us.